Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080.
Woo!
Got an octopus on an octopus on the loose.
Yeah!
Strap on there, huh?
You know,
All right, we're just 1 hour away from recruiting with Andrew Nemec. In the meantime, Filler called the club.
Yeah.
Club 1080.
Just a precursor to the greatness that is recruiting.
I was just reading about...
That's a lot of information, so...
Nemec's in there right now, I guarantee it.
Yeah, he's sitting over there. He's been over there for 2 hours.
Well, actually, he left the room for a while, but now he's back diligently prepping.
I don't think so. I think he's just sitting in there. It's part of my Nemec needs to get away from his family more.
Exactly. He's got a newborn in the house. He doesn't want to be at home.
I've got to be there hours.
It's her birthday today.
Aw.
What? Oh, the newborn?
She's one, yeah.
Oh.
Does that still qualify as a newborn?
Is that a newborn?
For a minute, I was talking about I thought you were talking about the wife, and I was like, he's here on his wife's birthday? Bold move, Cotton.
Well, he's got a show to do. The people need their recruiting.
Called having a job?
Yeah, right. I mean, I'd work on my wife's birthday.
No, but he's been here for multiple hours before on his wife's birthday.
So
his show is at 7. He's been here since 4:30. That's what I was saying. It's a bold move.
I'm very confused by this take, Souk.
What do you mean?
Like, he's working.
That's when he gets here to do the show prep.
Yeah, he's prepping.
He was home all day.
It's a big show.
It's also his daughter's birthday, though.
So. Other people prep for their shows.
Understand.
Clearly, you do not.
You tell me you show up 3 hours early on your wife's birthday?
On my wife's birthday?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Okay. No, I'm kidding.
That's all I was
same
saying.
Time.
I was surprised that he wasn't out doing something with the family and then come here to do the program.
So his daughter's one.
Yes, that's a newborn.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
When do you shed that label?
Probably right after this, but I think you're probably still legit calling it a newborn, right? A year?
He says no.
No? 6 months?
What's an infant?
Ooh, I think an infant is anything up to 3. Then I think you go in to be a toddler or a tot, if you will.
Or just the easy baby.
What about a baby? Yeah, like how long can you call?
2.
Ah.
According to the interwebs, newborn is birth to 2 months.
Oh. Wait, what? Birth to 2 months?
Is a newborn.
Is newborn, and then what? Infant?
He says, I don't know. He closed the screen.
He's done. He's
for heaven's sakes.
He doesn't care. He's got recruiting on
infant
his mind.
Infant is 2 months to a year.
Okay. And
toddler
then...
is 1 to 4.
Oh. Oh. Your daughter just crossed over into toddlerdom.
Yeah. And then four to being a teen is just a child.
You're a kid or a child. You're a tot. You're a little angel. Can I say a random pet peeve of mine? How old your kid is, and then you drop like a 15 months. She's a year, right?
I don't know, isn't 15 months easier than a year and 3 months?
No, just a year. I'm fine. It's just, I don't need the exact. I don't know why that. 17 months. It's almost two.
Well, I think that's important.
Do you?
Yeah, because then if you said a year, you'd be like, oh, what's the matter with that kid? So the extra 4 months means a lot when you're that.
I don't need that.
I feel like that'd be the reverse, though. If you say a year, would, yeah. And you're like, wow, what a super kid over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. Yeah, he's only 2 months old. Look at that.
Now, this did happen to me quite a bit. So my
walking,
son.
Walking, talking already.
My son, who is now normal sized, like he's not a big kid. He's a skinny kid, but he's not. If you saw him, you wouldn't be like, oh, that's a small Asian child. He's just a normal size kid, not too big, not too small. But for the first, oh gosh, probably 6-7 years of his life, he was tiny. That was the infamous, the doctor asking me if I was the biological father. He just, for the first couple years, he was in the bottom 10% height and weight. But it was weird because when he was like 3 and 4, he looked like he was a year and a half or two. And people used to always tell me how advanced he was. They're like, oh my gosh, he speaks so well and look how well he's moving around. I'm like, he's 4. And they're like, oh, everyone thought he was like a real little kid. And I'm like, no, he's just small. Like he's normal developed kid.
So when do you stop with the month thing? So if you say 17 months or 18 months.
2 years.
If you get to 19 months, you just say what?
He's almost two. Just give me that. I don't know. That was always one of those things. I don't know why, but it always, because when you have little kids and you're hauling them around like Yoda style, like backpack, and you run into some other dad or other mom, and they're always like, how old's your baby? I'm like, oh, he's like a year. And then they always respond with, well, mine's 17 months. I'm like, fine, sure. Year and a half. Give me almost a year, year and a half, almost 2 years. I don't need the exact months. I don't. And to be honest with you, no one really cares whether your kid is 12 months or whether they're 14 months. They're a year old.
And if we discussed this question before, I think we have, faintly remember, do parents of babies that are ugly know it?
I think so deep down, but you lie to yourself enough. But if you got a weird looking kid, I think you know your kid's weird. Well, I mean, if you've got a kid that's a weird high school kid, don't you know? Like, if you've got a nerd, don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of parents are in denial. You know, you tell yourself a lie long enough.
But babies are
hard to believe it.
I don't know. Babies are a little different because, you know, kids separate themselves personality-wise or looks-wise.
Yeah.
But babies are all like, everybody just, oh, it's a baby.
Not all babies are cute.
Oh, of course. But what I'm saying is the ones that aren't, we all know,
yeah.
But do the parents know?
Again, I'm going with the deep down. Deep down in places they don't want to talk about, they know.
Look at my Raiders. They're up 24-0 on the Cardinals. Can they be stopped? Do you think they're going undefeated? Because I do.
No, I'm going to say like 15-1, you know.
I'll take it. Kyler Murray, 3-for-7, 12 yards.
So he was the greatest thing ever after his one series in the preseason, and now he's terrible.
Look at Mike Glennon. He's carving him up.
Well, if you watch Hard Knocks, you'll see.
You didn't catch up on Hard Knocks. You promised.
No, I know.
I promised.
You missed him hating both Mike Glennon and Nathan Peterman at the same time. I'm not sure which one he hates more.
Oh, Nathan Peterman.
But he hates them both.
Glennon, 7 of 8, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Can't wait for Nathan Peterman to come in and throw picks.
Remember when the Chicago Bears gave him, what was it, like $15 million?
And then he lost the job in the preseason to Mitch Trubisky.
They gave Mike Glennon a lot of money.
Yeah, hey, I was just reading
that. He looks like an alien, by the way.
Glennon?
Yeah.
He looks like
one of the Monstars from Space Jam. Mm. He's a weird-looking dude.
I was just reading that Trump wants to buy Greenland. Did you read that?
What?
Yeah.
He's
floated the idea of buying Greenland
to his advisors. Like personally or like
Space
to the...
Space Force.
No, for the U.S. For
really?
The U.S. to acquire Greenland.
Buy Greenland?
Yeah.
Is there a purpose to this?
Isn't Greenland just all full of ice?
And research bases.
Like what's... Like well, no one goes to Greenland, right? We all go to Iceland.
Greenland is vast. You know, it's big. So there's that.
You could say it's huge.
It's huge. I don't know. It says like
surrounded by water, well, you know, ocean,
natural resources.
You know what? I'm gonna go with something here, and I'll admit it. I don't think I fully appreciated the scope of Greenland.
It's big, yeah.
Yeah. When you said it was big, I was kind of like, is it really? And then I looked at a map and went, whoa.
Yeah, Greenland's...
I did not have any idea it was that large.
I think they also floated the idea out there, because Truman wanted to... Like, he was sniffing around Greenland.
He wanted to buy Greenland?
And...
Can you just...
I don't know. I think that's what Trump was asking. He's like, hey, can I just buy that?
Can
or
you?
We?
Can you do that?
Well, Denmark runs it.
But you know. They don't. But Denmark runs it, but... What do you mean they run it?
They own it. It's Denmark's land.
Really?
Yes.
Greenland's not its own country?
No, it's Denmark's.
Wow.
They're in charge.
Dude, you're blowing my mind right now. I had no idea.
Also, geopolitical. It's just, this story is on Forbes. It says for geopolitical reasons, which, I don't know, seems vague. It's a little vague. But
so for reasons for both geography and politics, which is all this is about.
Yeah.
A politician wants to buy something that's on a map, so geography.
A source tells the Wall Street Journal, Trump is interested in Greenland's natural resources and the legacy such an acquisition would give him after office.
I still can't get over the... Am I the only one that didn't know that it belonged, that it was a Danish territory?
I can't say that I knew that.
It says Greenland is a massive island and it's an autonomous Danish territory, which I still don't know what that means. What's an autonomous? I mean, that means
I think
it's on its own, but it's,
I don't know. Is it like our Puerto Rico?
I don't know.
You know,
I'm so confused.
Well, anyway, I think we should buy it.
Yeah, I'd be on board. Like, what does that go for?
I also just learned.
Wait,
this.
Don't buy it. That's
thanks,
a lot of money.
Thanks to Andrew Nemec and the text line. Greenland is actually not that big. It's a distortion because
it goes
when the map
around,
is flat,
yeah.
It goes around the top. Yeah. It's actually at 1/5 the size of the U.S.
Right, but well, it's still big, like compared to like Iceland.
Yes.
But what is its map? Like, what? How big is it?
I don't know exactly. Because when I'm looking at it on the map, it looks freaking enormous.
Well, that's because they're flattening the map.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know the exact size of it. I didn't pull it up. I was just relaying information. I'm the messenger here.
Hot Greenland talk.
Look, I didn't know anything about Greenland, to be honest with you, other than it's not that green. So,
no, it's icy. Greenland's icy, and Iceland's green. Isn't that what they say?
1 million square kilometers is Greenland.
Someone says,
of course.
Can't we just take over Greenland? What is Denmark going to stop us?
Oh, boy. All right. Coming up next.
Build that wall.
Can we build a wall around Greenland? Is that like we move to Greenland? Can we build a wall?
Look, put all the flat earthers in there and say, hey, look, you were right.
Head on up there.
An expert on human blind spots gives advice on how we should think. Next on The Fan. Okay, for this next segment here, I've got a little piece of audio. It's only about 25 seconds.
Steve Ballmer? Because it should be.
Yeah!
It is not. It is someone far more boring. Mm. It is Mark Leishman of the PGA Tour.
Okay.
Now, I'm only playing this.
Yeah, you teased this the other day, right? We didn't get
to
it.
Yeah, I just want to... I came across an article that I think is helpful and could be helpful to some of our listeners, and I wanted to talk about it and bring it up to you guys. But then I saw this clip, and I thought, well, this goes perfectly with that article I just read. And so here is Mark Leishman being interviewed at his recent golf tournament.
Do you know what you don't know?
Do I know what, sorry?
What you don't know?
Do I know what, sorry?
Yeah.
Do I know what I don't know?
Yeah.
No. No, sorry, I don't understand the question.
So wow. I don't know what she was getting at.
She said the second time she says it, she's so determined. Like, this is what I said. She sounds so confident.
What do you think? She was like all fired up. She was like, I've got this really good question. It's going to make him think. And then it bombed. And she's like, this isn't going the way I wanted it to. And
maybe.
Do you
I don't
know.
Know
what you don't know?
Do I know what? Sorry.
What you don't know?
What is
like, the red right there? I'm like, she's like, do you know what you don't know?
Why would you ask someone that? Do you know
what
you
don't know? I got it. That's the question.
If I asked you, do you know what you don't know? Wouldn't you say no?
Yeah, I would say
but
no.
But I do know what I don't know.
Ah, you think you do.
I do.
But you don't.
But I do.
But I you
think,
don't.
I think I have a pretty good grasp.
Okay,
I
do pretty not, good.
I don't know anything about Greenland. And I'm like, if you would have asked me, hey, what do you know about Greenland? My response would have been, I don't know crap.
Perfect.
Other than it's got some ice on it.
Absolutely perfect commentary to lead into what we're going to talk about.
You are
about.
Setting this up on a T.
Yes, on a T. Yeah. So Vox has this article, and it is an interview with David Dunning. Have you ever heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? Maybe not, but...
No.
Okay, so it's called... An expert on human blind spots gives advice on how to think, how to fight the Dunning-Kruger effect, explained by David Dunning. So this guy calls David Dunning and he interviews him.
Okay.
So the Dunning-Kruger effect was published many, many years ago, and the findings of the paper are essentially, and everybody's on a spectrum. So to your point, you are correct. You are on the spectrum somewhere where you're very aware of more so than other people of what you don't know.
Yes.
I feel like I am too. But
I embrace my flaws and know when I need to call in someone that can actually, you know, help me figure something out.
There are people that I'm sure are a lot worse than you.
See Jason Swigart.
But you are on this. You are on this.
Sure.
Somewhere in the percentile.
Yes.
We're human beings.
Not everyone is self. There's no one that's totally self-aware about what you know and don't know. Right?
So,
absolutely.
The explanation for this effect is that when we're not good at a task, we don't know enough to accurately assess our ability. So inexperience casts the illusion of expertise. This is what you were talking about with Swigart.
Yeah, so this is, for example, like if you've lifted weights before or you do it on a regular basis, swag stupid, I can squat 300 pounds would be ridiculous because you know what weight is, you know what your limitations are, but if you've never lifted weights before, you have no concept of that, and like you said, that leads to you having an overinflated sense of whatever.
So Dunning says the first rule of the Dunning-Kruger Club is you don't know you're a member of the Dunning-Kruger Club. People miss that. He said, and so the guy asked him, said, why is it that people don't understand. It says, last year I called Dunning to talk about the virtue of intellectual humility, or the ability to recognize that the things we believe in might be wrong. It's an essential trait, but a rare one. He says, our brains hide our blind spots from us. And the Dunning-Kruger effect is one example of how we often feel more confident about a skill or topic than we really should, but at the same time, we are unaware of our overconfidence. That's probably the most basic way to say it.
Sure.
So that applies to all of us, including you.
Yes.
And me and Mike and everyone. So we can take some idea and spin a completely compelling story around it that makes total sense in our head based on the facts that we know. And some people could go super deep into those facts, and it does not mean that it's right.
Yeah.
And so what the Dunning-Kruger effect is we're unaware of how overconfident we are about our opinions. That's what it is. And isn't this a major factor in where we have come in society today, to this place of divisiveness and
yes.
anger, and everybody's right and everybody's yelling at everybody else?
Yes, we all,
because everybody feels so right. I think this is so important to understand, that just because you believe something does not mean that it's even close to right, and your overconfidence about believing that is a blind spot.
Yes, this is there are so many examples that are going through my head right now. Like, for instance, you said, like, where we've come out, like, politically even. How many times when it comes to whether you're let's just take voting for a president or anything. You can be voting for a governor, a mayor, whatever, right? You hear the person that is just, this is what our country needs, right? 100%. We need Bernie, or we need Donald, or we need whoever. And then you ask the person, well, why? Because it's what we need. Well, what is it about them that you like? You ask them to explain it, and they can't, right? It's just they have this concrete belief that they're right. It's I don't know, it's become this weird sort of bravado that we all have where everyone's right about everything. And I think some of it, honestly, it's getting worse, is because of technology. That you don't you're not really smart. You just have a computer in front of you at all times, and you feel like you always have the correct answer to something. When in reality, no one's getting smarter.
Yeah.
You just have something in front of you that can tell you the answer, and it leads to you to believe that you're an expert in everything.
Yeah, but I think this is a phenomenon that precedes
way back. Yes.
Technology. But technology certainly is, I'm sure, a factor. But it's basically the only difference is what, as RJ says, he says the biggest difference is just between people is what level of overconfidence you bring your point with.
Sure.
That's really it.
You walk into it and you
say, we all believe something.
Yeah, you believe it, but you're open. Are you open to the idea that you're wrong, or the open to the idea that it's not a complete answer, or are you 100% refusing to accept any other point than your own?
Yeah,
and
right.
That's where I came in with like the whole political thing. We have people in whatever social issues, political issues, anything that can be debated. We have more and more people, I feel, that are dug in and refuse to accept any sort of new information.
Yeah, and I think that they look at the other person and just can't understand how they believe that and believe that they are so wrong. When if you would just both sides would understand, doesn't matter what side, would understand that you may not be right, that changes things a bit.
Yes.
Right?
The idea of being open to the idea.
Another one says,
less and less open.
Like a couple texts, one of my favorite sayings is, don't believe everything you think. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And another one says, the more I learn, the dumber I feel. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
The older you get, you realize, oh, boy.
Yeah, you're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so some of that bravado may help you as a young person.
But it also can go the other way, too, because how many people watch one documentary or read a book on something, and then that is their point of view come hell or high water,
right,
even though that documentary can be completely out in left field? Like, you can watch a thing on a 9/11 conspiracy or a moon landing or a JFK or read a book on something. It can be really compelling, but it doesn't mean that it's right. But you're like, hey, I didn't know anything about aliens. I read a book on this person that's supposed to be an expert on it. Therefore, I believe everything he says, 100% concrete, and you haven't done anything other than learn one other point of view, and it's now become concrete in your head.
So here's a little piece of the Dunning interview. He says, if there is a psychological principle that I think people should know more about, it's the principle of naive realism. It means that even though your belief about the way the world is just seems so compelling or so self-evident, it doesn't mean it is true. Whenever we reach a conclusion, it just seems like the right one. In fact, a lot of what we see and conclude about the world is authored by our brains. Once you keep that in mind, hopefully it does give you pause to think about how you might be wrong, or think about how another person might have a case, and you might want to hear them out. He says, your brain is doing a lot of creative artistry all the time. There have been a couple of teachable moments in the past couple of years. Here is one on naive realism. Do you remember the blue, black, or gold, white dress?
Sure.
That's social media.
Yes.
So that was the picture of the dress that showed up on social media, and some people see blue and gold, and other people blue and black.
Black, and other people,
and other people see
white,
gold and white. He says, you look at that dress, and damn it, it looks white and gold to me. And I can't make it look the other color, so it looks the way it is. But really, our brain is making a few assumptions and then coming up with an answer. That's us. It's not the world. It's you. So then the interviewer says, something that I think is both funny and instructive about your work is that people often get the Dunning-Kruger effect wrong and take away the wrong conclusion from it. Do you see that a lot? He says, of course. The work is about how when people don't get it, they don't realize they don't get it. And so the fact that people don't get the work in major ways is delicious irony, but also terrific confirmation.
Well, and doesn't this lead to... And this isn't universal, right? There's no blanket statements to be made, but a lot of times the dumber or more ignorant you are, or you come across people that are like that, the more dug in they are about their beliefs. That to me is always an interesting thing. If you find someone that isn't really, they're not well educated, or they're not worldly, they haven't been around the block a whole lot, they tend to be very stringent in their beliefs.
And
views on the world, even though they have less experience and less knowledge, and they don't want to listen to anyone that's actually an expert in anything, or that is going to offer a different viewpoint from them.
But isn't that this effect to a T?
Yes.
Like that's
yes.
what he's talking about.
Yes.
And if people, it doesn't matter how smart you are or how well read you are, you just have to be open to the idea
that you're wrong
or that
it's not complete, at least.
Yeah.
Or like that there's more to learn.
That's it. Absolutely. That's all it is. And so what you're talking about, that guy is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because, and it doesn't matter what political side of the fence you're on or whatever you're talking about, that guy is dangerous because that's the guy that doesn't know what he doesn't know, yeah. Right? He doesn't see it.
And he's dug in, and it's like, I'll fight or flight this thing till I die, right?
And it just seems like more and more and more and more people are displaying this, and that is what I think to more sensible people like yourself, I think, or that have more awareness, I think those are the people that are being driven nuts more right now than anybody else because they see it. They're like, man, I get that you believe that, fine. You may be wrong. It's incomplete. Just please understand that you may not be right about this.
Some of the best things one of the best things you can ever say is, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know.
Another one said, yeah, exactly. And it texts, ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity.
Yeah. Sometimes my kids ask me a question and I'm like, I have no idea. And I'm not going to fathom a guess on that one. Let's look into it together. But it's okay to say, I don't know. But I think for a lot of people, they don't feel.
So here's to your point.
That's a statement they can make.
I want to read you one other paragraph here. He says, this is exactly what you just said. He said, the big thing is, okay. The music's running out. I'll get to this next. There's one other thing where he's talking that I think is interesting. Anyway, the article is on Vox if you want to read the whole thing. It is called An Expert on Human Blind Spots Gives Advice on How to Think. And we'll wrap it up next. Here's Mike. Okay, we're talking about a Vox article, the Dunning-Kruger effect. And the first rule of the Dunning-Kruger Club is you don't know you're a member of the Dunning-Kruger Club. Basically, people don't... None of us... and to varying degrees, we don't understand our own ignorance. And so because we believe something and it makes so much sense to us, we just think that that's true when we need to be aware that it may not be.
Yeah.
So the last bit here is what you were just talking about. We were talking about the dress, you know, social media thing. And then you were talking about people that are lower on this sort of spectrum who are so dug in and won't hear anything, like the completely blind people.
Yeah.
And what's so frustrating about those people is that they have opinions just like you and I and anybody else, but they clearly are demonstrating this very topic we're talking about by not seeing any other way. In other words, they are the definition of the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah, it's like for me, I can handle if someone has a different viewpoint than I do, believe it or not. What I can't handle is when someone's viewpoint comes from a very ignorant and just it's an ignorant place. There's no reasoning behind it. It's just, it's like if you asked your parent something, you know, why, and their response was because I said so. That's such an awful, awful, I don't know, justification for anything. Oh, it's because of the way it's always been. Or this is the way it was back in the good old days. And because I said so, it's just a terrible way to operate. And it just becomes a blinder. It becomes a way of shielding yourself from new information and further reinforces what you're talking about. The Dunning?
It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Kruger effect.
Yeah. So... there are two things. Remember, he was asking the question, do you see it a lot where people don't understand what you're trying to say? Or they don't, the Dunning-Kruger effect, they get it wrong. And he says that's delicious irony because they don't get what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
So he says the first thing that people misinterpret is they think it's about them, right? There are those people out there who are stupid and don't realize they're stupid. And he said that's not what they're saying. That's not what this is. This is something that is a phenomenon that visits all of us, sooner or later. Some of us are just a little bit more flamboyant about it, and some of us aren't. But not knowing the scope of your own ignorance is part of the human condition. It is smart people, dumb people, white people, black people.
Everyone's in there.
Nobody's saying that because you're dug in like an Alabama tick on your opinion that you're stupid because you can't see the other side or you're displaying the Dunning-Kruger effect. It hits us all. He said, number two is, over the years, the understanding of the effect out there in popular culture has morphed from poor performers are always overconfident to beginners are overconfident. We just published something within the last year where we showed that beginners don't start out falling prey to the Dunning-Kruger effect, but they get there real quick. So they quickly come to believe they know how to handle a task when they really don't have it yet. So in other words, anybody new to a subject is going to be a pretty quick offender of this, right? Sure. And so then you start talking about, this is why it's very, 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 very difficult to have a conversation about, say, race, because everybody starts from a different starting block. In other words, one starting block may be someone who is deeply researched on the topic and the history and this and that. And another person may be coming from having read one paragraph in one thing that they agreed with, and now they're saying this is right.
Well, and that's kind of what I was talking about when you watch a documentary or you read a book or something, you listen to a lecture, right? And you feel like you've become educated on something when in reality, you've just gotten one small point of view on something, but how many people take that as an expert? I see that all the time. I mean, we're all guilty of that. You can watch a documentary on climate change or a moon landing or on, you know, I don't know, the farming or whatever. And instantly, if you know nothing about the subject and you don't do any more digging on it, that becomes your whole viewpoint, right? You're like, oh, someone else knows more than me. Therefore, I'm just going to take what they said and then that's my universal truth. And you've done the exact same thing. You've just, I don't know, that's to me is the prime example of that.
Yeah. And he, Dunning, goes on to talk about how some of the people that you can trust more than others in this line of thinking are people that are truly deeply into a topic and have devoted their lives to researching it and understanding it are typically people that get past this behavior.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're just, and but nobody's an expert in anything, right? Like it's like this, the truly deep level, I don't know, scientists that are studying X, they're the ones you can trust the most. Anybody else is going to display a lot more of this.
Someone's saying, isn't this exactly what we're doing about this topic? There's a lot of people right now that are listening to this and then it's changing your point of view that's kind of the beauty of this is the yeah. Dunning-Kruger effect. We're all doing the Dunning-Kruger effect right now on the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Right. Fascinating.
Yeah, you're taking in information. If you never heard this before, a lot of people out there will take everything that's being said right now as a universal truth.
He also says it's getting really dangerous now because there's an added layer in recent times of fact is no longer fact. Like it's one thing to say the economy is bad or the economy is good, not referring to anything but just a statement.
Sure.
Right? There are things that can prove that one way or another,
yes.
Right? But now we seem to be living in a world of information.
You can deny it.
Where people are not, they're not differentiating between fact.
No.
And
you can have someone, and if their opinion is dug in on something and you bring with them concrete evidence that they're wrong, they will not believe you. They will tell you that you're full of crap and they will dig in even deeper. Yes, we see this all the time.
Yeah, so he's saying if you want to change, so the point is if you want to change this, like if you want to be better about this, which I think we all should be, he says there are some clues. He says people who think not in terms of certainties but in terms of probabilities tend to do much better in forecasting and anticipating what is going to happen in the world than people who think in certainties. So that's the first thing. If you want to be a little more open,
don't be absolute about anything.
That's right. Talk about probabilities, not certainties. That's a good way, I think, to look at it in your own, you know, just in your own, in our own lives, I guess.
I feel like we should all be high while having this conversation.
Totes,
bro.
I
feel like if we had a Boston bomber right now, this would be a lot better.
You guys are hotboxing the studio.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry that we made it serious, but I thought that was fast. I just think that stuff is fascinating.
Me too.
I really do. And I think it's a really big element of society that, as he says, we all don't realize that we need to.
And I think it makes, it doesn't make us better. It makes us worse, much, much worse.
Totally agree. It's our blind spot.
Yeah.
And we're not always going to see it, but if we're aware that it's there, maybe we can get better about it. And there you go.
I enjoyed it.
So it's over.
It reminded me of our conversation about the Fermi paradox, which was really interesting as well. Very serious, very lots of depth and layers to it, and super interesting.
All right. I think we're out of here. Is John still at the beach?
He is, but we can...
I've tried him every day, so we'll keep trying.
We'll give it one more whirl. And if not, we'll roll another one and Dunning-Kruger it.
All right. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan.
1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, well, he picked up, then he went away. No, John.
He picked up and it was...
Yeah, he's still down there. He's, what is that, Tierra del Mar.
He says he's back tomorrow.
Pacific City, down in that is that direction.
All right, well.
Some sort of family beach excursion where they're throwing watermelons into swimming pools.
Forget him. Did you see the guy that was the only guy on the flight that he took from Aspen to Salt Lake?
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I would love that.
I do too. I think it's amazing.
I don't think I've ever been on an airplane that's even been remotely empty. Like, you ever been on a flight where there's even just a handful of people? I'm not talking about, like, a small little plane.
No, I was going to ask you guys, what is the fewest number of people that you've ever been on a flight with? And I'm not talking about, like, those little planes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about, like, a little puddle jumper or whatever. Like a regular-sized plane, I don't think I've ever been on one that had less than maybe 75 people.
I've been on one that I've been able to have the whole three seats and lay down.
Yeah, that's happened once in a while.
I've seen that. I was on one flight where I want to say the last three rows were completely empty. And there was, you know, a smattering of empty seats, but it wasn't like...
But you're still talking about 100, you know,
right,
75,
exactly.
150, depending on how big the plane is.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you would do. Like, you get on the plane, there's not one other person. That's shocking to me when you go in, because we used to go to late night movies. I always go to movie nights on Tuesday with a friend of mine, and we used to go to the late one. And now we usually go to once a little bit earlier, like 8 o'clock. But there were many times when we'd walk into a 10 o'clock showing on a Tuesday, and you'd be the only one, or there'd be one other person.
My wife and I have done that. Because we did the same thing. We started the Tuesday movies this year, and we started at doing like the 9:30 ones, 9:45.
Yeah.
Maybe one other couple in the theater.
Yeah.
So.
But it's always like shocking when you walk in and you're like, oh, crap. Like, there's no one here. I can't imagine walking onto an airplane and having that. I'd feel like something was wrong. Like, it was a setup. Like, there was someone coming out of the bathroom. It was some sort of sting operation. I was about to get arrested.
Well, anyway, he was going to, I think, like Detroit or something, but he was in Aspen and he had to fly to Salt Lake first. So that first leg, there was nobody. And so he was sitting there in the waiting area. And
I'm looking at the video right here.
Yeah. He took video of it and they were getting ready to, you know, make all their announcements. And he got up and he made them make the announcements only for him. Like, they couldn't make them generic. They'd have to address him. Dave, we are now boarding. Yeah, like things like that. And so he did it, and he filmed it, and he put it online.
That's like, he got to meet the pilots. He's shaking all their hands.
Yeah, he said he thought about taking, I don't know, however many minutes in each seat on the plane while he was flying, but he thought better of that.
That sounds like a short flight. That would be terrible.
Well, it was a pretty small plane, too.
Yeah, but he did fly first class. What would have been great is that they not let him fly first class.
Yeah, sir.
You know, sir, you didn't pay for this ticket.
Yeah, because they'll do that.
Sir, you're in 10B.
Yeah, there's empty seats in first class.
You will sit in 10B.
They're like, we're going to need you to go back to your assigned seat once we're up and about. Because I've had that before. I've asked a stewardess or a flight attendant. I'll be like, hey, can we move over there? And they'll tell you, well... Once it's in the air, then move. But stay seated in your seat while we do the head count and take off and all that jazz.
They had to put, like, I don't know what it was, but they were loading bags of heavy
sandbags.
Was it sand? Sandbags into the plane to make sure it had the right weight because there was only one person on the plane.
Yeah, he noticed them dumping sandbags into the cargo bin for weight.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Have you ever been on a flight where they've had to move people to balance weight, like move people to the back,
yes,
or front?
Small planes.
Yeah.
I've had that too. I don't think that you have to do that with like a big jet. But yeah, if you're flying on a small plane and I'm a bigger guy, I've had that before. They're like, we need you to move over there, and they'll move two other people to the other side. It always makes you feel bad. You're like, really? I equal two people? Awesome. Feeling real good about myself right now.
You ever been on a flight that looks like too much weight? You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa.
Elevator. I've done that with the elevator when I played, and you know, you're all at the team hotel or whatever, and everyone piles into the elevator, and then you look at that sign, it tells you what the max weight is, and you're like, wait a minute. Like, there's 11 of us here, and you're like, yeah, three. Yeah. You do that, but no, I've never had that on a small plane where you're worried about that. I'm assuming that there's some pretty wide margins, right? When it comes to airplanes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if they say the weight limit is however many pounds, I'm certainly that they have to give you some wiggle room there.
It's one of those things where I kind of don't want to know how all that works.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's a little dicier than we know. You know?
The only thing I can remember with that was years and years ago when I was in Tampa, we went to one of those cheesy county fair sort of things, you know, where the ride was put up in 4 hours by a guy with knuckle tattoos and probably a felony on his record. You know, one of those things.
Yeah.
And it was the swing sets, you know, where, you know, it just, you know, it just spins around in a circle and you're on the little seat and it's like a swing. And I remember getting into that thing, and it was me and my wife at the time, and we were on one of the little kind of two-seat things, and I couldn't fit into the two-seat one. So I moved over to a single, and we were just going to kind of go side by side. So I managed to get the thing across, and the guy was coming around checking to make sure everything was tight, and it was fine. And then he left, and they were getting ready to start the ride, and another guy came over and was like, sir, can I ask how much you weigh? And I was like, what? And he's like, can I ask how much you weigh? And I was like, I don't know. I think I was 320. I was like, I don't know, like 320, 325. And he had this look on his face, and he was like, yeah, like we should probably get you off. And I was like,
ooh.
Are you serious?
You're like, promise?
I was like, you serious? He goes, yeah. He goes, we need to get you off the ride. So I got off the ride, and all I could think about was what would have happened had it gone. Like I was strapped in uncomfortably, but I was strapped in, and I didn't see a sign that said weight limit or anything, but there was a man that spotted me and was like, yeah, this isn't a good idea. Had that thing started swinging, what happens?
Well,
my wife was freaked out. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, at first I was like, what, are you offended that they were kicking me off? She goes, no, I'm offended. They almost let you go.
Well, it's probably like the whole put your phones in airplane mode thing.
Yeah.
It's probably like that. Like, this is what we need you to do. It's best if you do it this way. Probably won't be a factor, but in the event that it is, it can be troublesome. It's probably like that.
It made me very, to this day, those rides still give me the heebie-jeebies. We were at the Clark County Fair and they had that, and I'm like, I'm not getting on that. Now, I weigh 80 pounds less than I did, but still, like, just that thought to this day creeps me out of that guy coming over and being like, yeah, we can't allow this.
I also think people generally don't do airplane mode. They don't do it.
No.
It's almost like if you do it, you're like, oh, wow, you're really nice, you know? Like, they want everyone to go airplane mode.
What happens if you don't, though, right?
Well, that's what I think people think, is like, well,
what's the worst
nothing,
thing that can happen?
Yeah, well, yeah, nothing ever happened.
So one day we all crash and we find out it's because no one was on airplane mode.
Or it was because one person wasn't.
You son of a bee.
It was you. It was 6D. That's who did it. But I always go airplane mode.
Do you?
I do. I do it for them.
Well,
I figure there's a reason why they have it. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, why wouldn't you go airplane mode? Because you can't get service in the air anyways.
Yeah, and if you get Wi-Fi, you get that, and yeah, you can still be in airplane mode. Yeah. All right, that's it for us. Coming up next, it's Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
Spring. Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.